Coming up on Reflections.
Forgiving myself of that and recognizing that those times where I was at the boiling point and having complete meltdowns was because I'd just run out of fuel.
Hi, I'm Rick Higgins, and welcome to the podcast. What, this is your first time here? Well, let me tell you about us. We're your new favorite storytelling podcast. We're all about real examples, real life, real people. Telling tales of struggles, of things they had to push through. And when they came out the other side, they were an entirely different changed person. Now, this podcast is also part of the Mastering the Second Half Network, and it's all about empowerment. And to be very specific, we're here to empower you. Yeah, the stories are very entertaining, and I must say that the melodious voice that you're listening to now is probably also a little bit, I completely forgot the word, soothing. But our stories are also cleverly and ingeniously designed to put ideas into your own head about possibilities in your own life, about maybe pushing through your own wall of whatever and becoming a new changed person. So, are you ready to drink the Kool-Aid? With that, let's introduce our guest for the day. Andy Parker is a career coach and a mentor for people in technology.
I am in my mid-40s, and I was diagnosed with autism. When was I 40? It's a long period of time, and not that uncommon for people my age. We didn't have the amazing observational skills of teachers and things like that when I was growing up, so these things weren't as well known and understood about. And what I wanted to talk about was how that having that diagnosis enabled me to do more things than I thought was possible. And I think that that is a great piece of life lesson to share with other people who may be experiencing the same kind of things or have gone through the same sort of things and are looking unknowingly for reference checks and sanity checks on whether what they've experienced is shared by other people. And the big part of that is having a very difficult experience at school, being kicked out of school, not quite really gelling with what are considered as being social norms and societal structures, and having that difficulty with being comfortable with living in the grey, which is something that I was actually talking to a relative about yesterday about their children. We're taught on these structures as children of this right and wrong, there's good and bad, and that's just not the real world, is it? And so when you come into adulthood, you're faced with that even more, and then you move into the working world and you're faced with it even more, but also at the same time playing these silly games of hierarchies and, you know, etiquettes and all of these things. So I've been fired from countless jobs, and you look back on those experiences and they're always the same. It's about, it's got an attitude, or, you know, can come across very cutting and all of these kinds of things. And then finally spending some time with a counsellor and a business coach, both of them converging at the exact same moment, sharing with me this hypothesis of something that they thought about me that I would never reach on my own. And then that led me into investigation myself and working with specialists to go through a diagnostics process. It allowed me to do was actually forgive myself for what I thought was being a shitty person, and that actually I'm not. I just haven't been able to explain to people what's going through my mind when I act or react to things in particular ways. And now I understand a bit more about that. It's meant that I can actually meter my responses to things so much better than I ever did as a young adult, and I feel like that's really helped me change my outlook on the working world and life, and to the point where I've become a coach and I work with other people who are going through the same kind of problems and challenges, and helping them understand themselves better and the value in actually learning about yourself to be able to get out of your own way and progress. So that's sort of the overarching premise of where I'm at in life today, I guess. And I don't know particularly how to structure that into sensible beats to share that. It would be great to get some thoughts on that and give myself some time to maybe have a think about that a bit more. But yeah, that's me.
While you're processing the first part of Andy's story, I want to kind of remind you that we actually have a newsletter. Now, it's across the entire Mastering the Second Half spectrum, meaning you get Tales of Empowerment, you get real-life stories, but you also get the Pirate Wanderer YouTube channel and everything else that we're doing. In essence, we're trying to share ideas, share stories, share tales from wherever to kind of get people out of the rut, out of their 9-to-5, and into something better. Go to rickhiggins.com and a friendly little pop-up will guide you to where you can sign up. It comes out every 2 weeks. We promise not to spam you with anything other than the tales that you signed up for, and we will never, ever share your privacy information with anybody other than ourselves.
I would say the vast majority of the people I have talked to over the past two interview sessions have pretty much told the same story, similar to yours, just different diagnoses. And sometimes it's about the educational system, which couldn't accommodate them as children, the world, or just the general world as an adult. It is, I don't want to say surprising, it is, the world is built for a certain type of person and you have to fit into that hole. And the more people I talk to, it's like, wow, so you were just slightly a different shape than the world expected and you don't fit and they're not going to let you forget it. And you have to fight to, I mean, every single one of them has had to fight to get to where they are.
It's very true. Something that it's made me reflect on, because I'm what would be classified in many spaces as being a highly functioning autistic individual. So when someone came to me and said, I believe that you're autistic, how do you feel about that? My response was, well, yes, I mean, I guess that makes perfect sense. And then they had to repeat that question, but how do you feel about that? And that was this catalyst. It was realizing there are certain things that other people, when they talk about it, would be describing an emotional response to something. I take a pragmatic, practical, mechanical approach to it and think of it as it's matter of fact. That was just sort of a slight tipping point. And then there were the other things that came from it, learning about things like masking and that we mimic the environments we're in. And so that then stands to reason. I was out of classes a lot, which means that you end up frequenting with other children who are out of classes for very different reasons. And so that becomes your social network, and I'm going to emulate that social network, and that has its own spirals. And then the same things can happen in work. But as an adult, the thing that you realize, and what I took on board greatly through my own exploration of this, was an immense appreciation and respect for people who are aware that they are neurodivergent, of the sheer energy required on any given day to navigate society and these checks and balances, particularly in the workplace, that get introduced, that you don't, as a neurotypical individual who knows how to play the game, you wouldn't realize that that is taking a massive toll on somebody else. And those are the things that I've been sort of exploring with myself, and forgiving myself of that, and recognizing that those times where I was at the boiling point and having complete meltdowns was because I'd just run out of fuel. Like, because I'm spending so much time thinking about what I'm saying and the way that I'm saying it as to not upset someone, or, you know, not to play the part of what's expected of me within this social group. I've run out of energy to do all of that shit. So now you're just going to get the worst of me, because I haven't got, what I want to do is be able to speak freely and see what happens. But instead I'm playing this role, this character.
How does this change your future?
I'm more confident to not do the things that I know are not going to work for me, despite perhaps others or the situation probably putting it self-ward as being something I should. So that's everything from social engagement. Like if I got invited out for an evening and my head's not in the right place, Whereas before, I would probably spend the entire day psyching myself up to be able to go and take that on, knowing like, I have to think about these things in a totally, this isn't me going to the bar, like casually, like people do. I have to think about every single step that's going to be involved in that, because it's an overwhelming experience. It's lots of noise, that it's lots of different people with different personalities, and which one am I going to kind of lock in with, and you know, those kinds of things. It's a whole challenge. I actually just don't need that. Like, if there's a time where I want to do that and I'm excited by that idea, then I'll probably put it forward. But by and large, these sort of types of things, I'm way more comfortable with just being able to say, I'm not going to do that today. And it's not apologizing for it either. It's not saying, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't make it. I can actually confidently just say, yeah, I don't want to do that. Thank you for the offer. And again, that may well come across to people as being rude or offensive or whatever it might have been. And that would have been the thing that I would have desperately tried to avoid previously, which means I would have made excuses. And I don't like lying, because I'm still, to an extent, in that world where things are quite binary. It's right or wrong. And here we are living in the gray. So the idea of white lies to sort of excuse yourself from a thing, actually, I'd rather just be honest with people and say, do you know, my head's just not in it. I'm going to be rubbish if I come and join you. I will ruin your evening. And the same goes for work. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm far more confident in leaving a job if it's not the right thing, if giving me energy, if it's not inspiring me and encouraging me to do my best. I'm not gonna sit and ride it out for the sake of it until, you know, it's gone too far, gone too late.
You can find Andy at theuxcoach.com. Links are in the show notes and the video description below. I really enjoyed my talk with Andy, but it also sort of brought up some unusual feelings and emotions inside of me. You see, I have had people with autism enter into my life, and when they did, I didn't know anything about, well, anything. Like most people, I didn't understand how somebody could be so different than I was, not really realizing that, well, maybe I was just as different to them as they were to me. And so talking with Andy kind of reminded me, gave me a little food for thought, if you will, that maybe I shouldn't concentrate so much on how others affect me, but maybe how I affect others. Now, if you would like to tell your own story on Reflections, just head on over to rickhiggins.com. Under the little menu, you will find the Contact Us page. And just fill out the form, and off to the races we will go. I would love to hear your story. If you don't feel like doing all of that, just send me an email at rick@rickhiggins.com. Thanks for listening.